Well, I wanted to talk about discipleship in a way of true discipleship. And then I was thinking about how Christians in general kind of defines that, and also how Christians in general kind of impose that onto each other and and also other people. Or in the history, what happened? So it's just that if you really listen to those principles or doctrines or dogmatic definitions about what it means to be a disciple of Christ or even Christian, what do you really hear? In my little understanding, often what I hear is what those people want to make sense than what Jesus is really teaching. So when we're talking about being a disciple of Jesus, what does that really mean is the question that I would like to kind of put on the table in the beginning. Or even one of my probably very common question is why do you choose to be a Christian? Why do you call yourself Christian? What does that mean to you? So today is one of those days that I'm asking you to think about. Today is also the day, Sunday of Pentecost, which is highly celebrated. In my background tradition that I grew up in, Korean Presbyterian Church, and when the Pentecost is coming, we prepare it even 4 or 5 weeks ahead. So there's no way that we'll not know about it. And there is from Thursday to Sunday evening program, whole weekend. And I was part of youth league and also youth the choir. I was in the choir. So we prepared like 5, 6 special hymns for it. So this is very, very significant day for all Christians. And might be good to have just this question in your mind that why on earth, you have a choice. Why on earth am I a Christian? That's a question to you. This one is quite hard one to chew and digest. And I have heard this one read many times in my youth life. An emphasis always is that this is why you have to do a lot for your church. So it was used not in the way of spiritual cultivation, which will enable me a self-examination and to see in me what needs to be changed. But instead, the focus was how much you can do for the church. And also how much willing are you for the sake of evangelism. As a youth, we did both. I was one of the youth leaders in this church. So two things we did. One, we come to church about 5 days of the week. Yes. So yeah, we come Friday to Sunday. Saturday and Sunday, besides the time that we're in the school, we spend the rest of time at the church. And then 2 more days during the week we come for meetings or preparations, and then twice a week we go out to the street and we are the soldiers of Jesus Christ saving the souls or damned to hell. Which was somewhat, in the one hand, confusing because I didn't really get that. I was 14, 15, but at the same time, it sounded really good that I'm saving these people's soul. And I read it again and again as I'm older and older and with my understanding gets deeper. I'm reading it in a totally different way than the way that I was taught when I was 15. And the way I'm reading is somewhat, this is the, in a way, if you read the whole Bible, both Old and New Testament, you hear two voices from God. One is really good one. I love you to the end. I created you. I know you. My love to you will never change. I love you like father, mother. I love you more than myself. That's one voice. The other voice is this. What's wrong with you? Why can't you get this simple message? Why are you always running away from me? Why don't you see and can do just simple thing like understand each other? Before you hit each other, why don't you talk? You know, that's this message in a way. Jesus is saying the very strong accusation if you read it. Sinful and adulterous generation. My goodness, both of them together. But is it really Jesus really accusing humanity about their evilness? If you have to see it the other way around, this is the sadness of God and expressing that. Why can't you just see the life that is just right in front of you? In a way, that's why I chose the Proverbs. There's a way to life. There is a way to just make you happy. But somehow, we choose over and over again the way that doesn't really make us happy. But we believe that's the way. So Jesus is somewhat saying, can you really see this? So, again, the question to you is, you had a choice. Our church believes in having choice. You have a choice, or you had a choice. You chose to be Christian. Why? I'm asking a second time. So, let us think about that one. Again. In Christian calendar, today is Pentecost. Pentecost means, literally, 50th day. And Pentecost actually is not the Christian origin either. This is actually a Jewish celebration, which is called the Festival of Weeks, or Harvest Festival. Which, the Festival of Weeks is celebration of receiving the law in Mount Sinai. And they believe that it happened 50th day after the Passover. So, 50th day after the Easter, Pentecost, 50th day after the Passover, Pentecost. So in Act 2, when it says, when the Pentecost has come, it didn't mean the way we Christians these days think. Pentecost actually was already there. It was a Jewish celebration, a festival. But that's the day these disciples of Christ received something special, something that we call these days the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it changed them somehow, deeply. You know, for these Pentecost is 10 days after Ascension. We like numbers, right? Like 40, 50, 10. It all means something. So, if you really go back, you have a time machine, you go back, it may not be 50th day. I can guarantee that. Most likely not. But we like 50. We like 40. The Bible likes 40. And Bible likes number 10. 10 means a kind of completion of a short period. The 10 days after the ascension, that's the Pentecost. Now, what did these disciples, including Peter, let's say they not only witnessed the resurrection, but also received a lot more message after that. And even they saw ascension, you know what they did right after that? They all went into the temple, locked the door, and prayed together. They didn't really know what to do. Or on the other hand, they were still really afraid. You know, world is big, and the forces that are against them were high and very strong. There are only 11 men. Should they go out and try to change the world with these 11 men? They were not sure. So the Pentecost is the day when somehow their heart, their spirit was kind of fired. That's the word that's used a lot. Fired by the Spirit of God, and fear was gone, doubt was gone, and they went out. And it was the Peter who was giving the most probably amazing speech after that. And this is the beginning of something we call the speaking in tongues. But if you really read Bible carefully, it's not about speaking in tongue. It is about God giving, opening people's heart so that they listen. It's the gift of listening, actually. Because Peter was speaking the way he used to speak. All these people from all over the world listened in their own language. So it was not Peter was speaking in different tongue, but actually it was the people who were listening to it were able to accept, receive it. So anyway, when we're talking about being a disciple of Christ, in my message I was asking, tonight, if Jesus indeed decides to come to you, in dream or in real, and suddenly call your name, I don't know, Nancy, would you like to be my disciple? Well, would that make you happy or scary? Having all modern understanding of psychology and mental state, you might be scared first. You might want to go to doctor and check out your mentality. You know, religion is losing its influence. To a degree, I like it, honestly. Because religions had piled up so many of this dogmatic, very narrow-minded way of viewing the world that only fits for a certain group of people. Like, if you really, even Buddhism seems really big, but if you don't believe in reincarnation, forget about whole Buddhism. Nothing makes sense there. Hinduism, the same thing. Christianity, you don't believe in the power of Jesus' blood on the cross, you can't even begin. Judaism, unless you become a Jew, there's nothing for you. Islam, same thing. Somehow, religion has developed locally, and they have localized the theology and perspective. So, on the one hand, it's a good news. But on the other hand, because of that, people now somehow felt, hey, then I have all the right to make all the choices all by myself. And I can do it because it's my life. Whatever I do, who cares? Or who is there to say anything about it? It's my life. In America, we even say it's a free country. I get to choose whatever I want to do. That is quite dangerous. I'm not against having freedom. I'm not against having choice of freedom. I'm all for it. I love it. Because I'll be the first one who will be resisting if somebody wants to put me in the box. I'm breaking it. Whatever the box is, I can't be in there. But at the same time, I would never say I'm the lawmaker for ethics, morality, anything, even for myself. Because I find it over and over again, whenever I'm trying to define something, I have to be really honest with you that I make the way that kind of works easier, better, simpler to me than that's harder, more difficult. In a way of saying, Jesus is very, very right, saying we have tendency to choose this broad, easy way versus this narrow and difficult way. Even if we know this narrow, difficult way is way to heaven or life, somehow, when it's easier that's in front of us, we have tendency to just grab it. Why? It's easy. It's comfortable. So when Jesus was saying, you have to take up your cross. What's cross? Cross is, in a way, a symbol of shame at the time. It was a symbol of shame, a symbol of punishment. Also, symbol of death. So if you were to accept shame, punishment, even death, you have to be quite humble and really trusting this fellow. Otherwise, you wouldn't do that. So the reason I was asking the question, why did you become Christian? I don't know the answer for you. I'll share my answer for that. I was attending something called the Committee of Admission into Ministry meeting. That is the committee in our denomination which interviews and also evaluate the student in our ordination track. So we are the kind of like a guiding dogs in that perspective. This committee has president of the convention, the chair of the council of ministers, two other ministers, and one layperson. So this layperson was asking the four ministers present, so what is it about living as a minister? And then all four of us suddenly sharing that how hard it is and life is not, you know, that like as easy sailing if you become a minister. People treat you differently, even your own family. You're never, after I was receiving this ordination, I was never just Jun Cho. Even if I want to be, as soon as somebody knows I'm an ordained clergy, well, they behave themselves. I don't need to tell anything, right? Before, they're using cursing words, doing all that, and then they're asking, oh, by the way, what's your job? I'm a minister. Oh, really? And they're like, they say all kind of excuses, and forgive me, and all that. And like. So, you see, even my wife sometimes says that if you have an argument, you can't do that. Why not? You're a minister. Even my wife. So, I have to say, being a minister is very spiritually rewarding, but at the same time, quite lonely. So, if you can take it, you become one. You can't take it, you shouldn't be. But anyway, so she was, after hearing all these, so many challenges and difficulties about living as a minister, she was saying, well,
It's so hard. Why?
Why did you become minister? And why are you still ministers? Because all of us, there are at least over 13 or 14 years in parish or ministry. And then, somehow, there's one thing. All of us felt this, you just sang the song, calling. There is this undeniable, very experiential calling of God. Like the finger of God is right, like, you know, above my head. So whenever I try to turn different way, it presses. And I feel it. Almost literally. That's my story. I mean, the story of other people will be different. I tried to get out of ministry at least 5 times in the past 13 years. All 5 times, I failed. Because this finger pressing me was too real that I could not say, that's not real. And I have to go the other way. And the reason I'm sharing you with you is not to make my experience special, but to tell you that's exactly the same to you as well. The way I'm reading the Bible is that God does not have the favorite. God does not have the favorite. And that's something that I did not like when I was in my Korean Presbyterian church. Whenever the minister was saying that you are the favorite. Well, in the beginning, I liked it. Well, come on, I'm the favorite. Well then, but there are 149 others. What happened to them? Well, then I heard him saying to another one, you are the favorite. Oh, so that's the game works. God, in a way, God favors all of us. That means God just loves us all, simply. And this finger of God is also right above your head, too. Matter is, are you willing to feel it and live with it or not? In a way, it's your choice. True discipleship, I really don't know answer to it. Because in my study, I find hundreds and hundreds of true disciples or true Christians or great Christians. And they chose their way quite differently. And they lived differently too. They lived in different places. They all had the same, that I can say. They heard the calling. They heard the calling. You just sang the song, right? That's the song that we sing at every single ordination service. And also seminarians who are graduating, that's the number one song they don't want to sing. Because they sang it like 20 times a year in the past 3 years. But that's the song that is based on this prophet, Isaiah, I believe. So, in my understanding, true discipleship is not about knowing a lot. It is not about doing a lot either. It is about actually hearing the voice of God calling you. God calls you all the time. That's my belief. And when you hear that, you change. Or more likely, your heart changes. The reason that keeps me in this path is just that. There's a bigger will that I am receiving all the time that is always helping me to overcome the other one. You have this voice coming into your heart all the time, and it is my prayer and a blessing that you open your heart and listen to it. And my advice, don't be afraid. Told you, God loves you. And at the end, God, your God, leads you to life, to joy, and to happiness.